I'm Emma Connors, Managing Editor of the Lowy Institute's Interpreter blog, and I'm speaking with Malcolm Cook, a non-resident fellow at the Lowy and author of a new Lowy Institute analysis paper on Philippine security policy under Duterte. We're speaking on the eve of the inauguration in the Philippines, at which Duterte officially takes the reins. And Malcolm, you were saying this ceremony is going to be quite different from past events.
Yeah, there's two very big differences that probably give us some indication what type of president Duterte is going to be. First, I think it's the first inauguration where the vice president-elect, Leni Robredo in this case, hasn't been invited. She was suggested that she hold her own inauguration, which she's doing. So the relationship between the president and vice president is not starting off so well. She also hasn't been offered a cabinet position, which is what usually happens for two vice presidents. The second, which is more positive, I guess, usually the inauguration is held at one of the largest parks in the Philippines, in Manila, called Luneta Park, where thousands of people go, and it's a huge fiesta. Duterte has rejected that and is going to be holding it, a much smaller one, at the presidential palace at Malacañang. Only about 600 people, and they're going to be eating very simple food, durian and a local soup, so much less pomp and circumstance.
It certainly seems that Duterte is very much his own man, and he's making that clear from the beginning.
Yeah, I think, I'm not a psychologist, but the word narcissist certainly comes in, where he has called himself during the election campaign the last card or the last hope for the Philippines. And so I think we're going to see, certainly at the beginning anyways, quite a personalized and probably less institutionalized approach to government than we've seen under, certainly under President Aquino. So the Philippines is on the verge of a significant political change tomorrow.
Given that, how difficult is it to predict how the Duterte administration will proceed, particularly in the areas of international security? I mean, obviously there's the South China Sea, but also in terms of what he's going to do in regards to the communist insurgency. I guess one is easier to talk about than the other, perhaps. Perhaps South China Sea is a bit more unpredictable.
Yeah, I think, luckily the election campaign was quite long, and there was quite a bit of coverage of it, and the period between being elected on May 9th and inauguration, the 6 weeks, President-elect Duterte and his expanding team have been setting out some of their key objectives, so it's becoming a little bit clearer both what are his primary priorities and which way he's going to go forward. But I think one big challenge that he faces, that President Jokowi in Indonesia faced when he became president, is Duterte's political career has been 27 of the 30 years of his political career has been as mayor or vice mayor of a far-flung city. Being a mayor of Davao City in southern Mindanao and being president of the whole country, 100 million people and 7,107 islands, is a huge change. And I think that's going to be his biggest challenge in terms of moving from being a very successful mayor of a large city but in a peripheral part of the Philippines to being a president of the whole country.
It's actually fascinating, isn't it? Because, in terms of an outsider, in a way, I mean, of course, he has been a politician for a long time, but certainly outside of that sort of national politics and how he will fare. There's certainly, do you think there's a few nervous people around the place in the US and Beijing looking on?
Yeah, I think, and again, particularly because he does have this maverick persona and some of the key people he's appointed on, call it the foreign policy side, aren't fully known quantities. His economic team is strong and very well known, but for example, his foreign secretary, Perfecto Yasay, has very little experience in foreign policy, and his most senior position before, I think for less than a year, was head of the Philippine Stock Exchange. So that was an interesting choice for a foreign secretary, especially given with the upcoming tribunal ruling on the Philippines dispute with China in the West South China Sea. So, I think there's a lot of people, take a Rumsfeldian quote, the known unknowns and the unknown unknowns are large and weighing on a lot of people's minds.
In regards to that tribunal ruling, now we did originally expect that it would be handed down sometime between the May election and this inauguration. Do you have a feeling that perhaps, you know, it was held off until Duterte took the reins, or was it more sort of fortunate for the incoming administration that they've had a bit of time to formulate their position?
Yeah, I think I think international law works at its own speed, and it's often not a fast one. But earlier this year, the Taiwanese government put in a very large submission to the tribunal of thousands of pages about one of the claims the Philippines was making over an island, Taiping Island, that the Taiwanese control. And I think the court or tribunal rightfully took that deposition on board, and that certainly has slowed down the time frame significantly. So I think that's probably the major reason, along with the slow pace of judicial consideration behind why the tribunal ruling, which many thought would come, as you said, before even the May 9th election, is still pending.
During that campaign, Duterte famously promised to get on a jet ski and plant a Philippine flag on the Chinese-occupied artificial islands. But that seemed to be almost, you know, an ad hoc, you know, perhaps taken in the moment type exclamation that isn't really indicative of his attitudes. He seems to be almost conciliatory and definitely favouring a multilateral approach. Can you tell us a bit more about what we know on his views towards the dispute and South China Sea?
Yeah, I think, first of all, that there's probably a huge learning curve that he and his recently announced team are probably at the beginning of learning about the complexities of the situation as a whole and of the Philippine claim. So I think it's not a surprise that there are some conflicting messages, as well as Duterte was a very colorful speaker on the campaign trail, and his supporters reassure us that not everything he said as presidential candidate he will follow through on as president. But it is pretty clear that I think the ball's in China's court. He and his teams, not only him, have made very clear signs to China that they want to improve the very strained relations between Manila and Beijing, and that if China were to reduce the pressure it's placing on the Philippines on Scarborough Shoal, that the Philippines used to control, but China pushed them off and provided things like concessional financing for infrastructure, particularly in Mindanao, the island that Duterte comes from, that the Duterte administration would be much less confrontational, if you want to use that word, than the Aquino administration was. However, he's also made it clear that if China continues to increase the pressure placed on Philippine fishermen around Scarborough Shoal, or starts to militarize that disputed land feature, that he will defend Philippine sovereignty even on a jet ski. So, as I say, I think the ball's in China's court, and if China plays it well, it could certainly reduce the tensions between Beijing and Manila and the focus in the relationship on the South China Sea, which China claims it wants to do with all of the countries in dispute.
So in some ways, the new presidency could be a circuit breaker in this long-running and at times very bitter dispute between the Philippines and China.
Yeah, and I think all presidents, especially ones coming from different parties, want to differentiate themselves from their predecessors, particularly in areas where the predecessors got a lot of criticism. And certainly Aquino's approach to the South China Sea disputes got a lot of criticism, mostly from Beijing, but from others. So, as I said, I think if China is smart, it can really change its relationship with Manila. At the same time, that other countries like the United States, Japan, and New Zealand are putting more emphasis on the tribunal ruling.
You mentioned that during the campaign trail, you know, Duterte was obviously very colourful, and his team made it clear that, you know, not all of his words should be taken at complete face value. And it reminds me that Trump's team have said similar things about his very colourful statements during the US presidential campaign. And when Duterte was elected, there were many comparisons made between the two, you know, both strong man-like figures, populist. Do you think those comparisons were overdrawn or are overdrawn?
So I think somewhat unsatisfactory, it's a bit of both. So on the side that where Duterte and Trump are quite different and should give us more faith in Duterte is Trump has no record of holding a political position and being successful in that, whereas Duterte has a long and quite successful record as mayor of Davao City. If you look, Duterte won convincingly Metro Manila, and many of the voters in Metro Manila, the largest city in the Philippines and the most dysfunctional, voted for this person from a totally different part of the country because they hoped he could do for Metro Manila what he's done for Davao City. So he has a long record as a very successful, if controversial, local politician, and also has a background as a prosecutor and is trained in the Philippine law, all things that Donald Trump in the American situation is not. On the comparison side, clearly they're both very populists, tapping into deep senses of frustration and alienation, and clearly are willing, not only willing, see it as part of their political persona to exaggerate, to criticize others, and to be present themselves as individuals, as the only saviors for the situation. So when it comes to kind of rhetoric and populism, I think Donald Trump and Duterte are quite similar when it comes to what can they back that up with. Duterte has a much stronger background than Donald Trump does.
Well, we'll certainly watch with great interest when the new presidency becomes formal and kicks off tomorrow. And for now, thanks very much for your thoughts, Malcolm.
Yeah, and the Philippine tourism slogan is, it's more fun in the Philippines, and I think we might be seeing that.
Great.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.